Okay, our first actual speaker of the day is Federico, who is a maintainer of Metal LB, which I personally use, thank you, over at Red Hat, and he'll be talking to us about cognitive loads. So a round of applause for Federico.
Yeah, it works. Yeah, so today I'm going to talk about cognitive load and how it affects our code base, why it matters, and how we can reduce it. And the reason why I put together this talk is because over the past, I would say, 2 years, I started contributing first and then maintaining the Metal LB project. Is anyone using it? Okay, so if it's gotten less stable, that's because of me. But by doing that, I started reviewing a good amount of PRs, and over this period, I kind of identified the recurring patterns that I was keeping asking over, and those recurring patterns, those scattered suggestions that I try to give in code reviews are what this talk is about. In terms of code, Metal LB is a nicely sized project, not too big, not too small, and I think it's worth keeping alive. So, some quick words about me. I'm Federico. I work for Red Hat. I'm part of a networking team in charge of making the OpenShift platform suitable for telco workloads. That means that I touch and contribute a lot of these different network-related projects. But that doesn't mean that I'm a network expert, because I'm not. So don't come asking to fix your router, as my parents do, because I won't. All of these are my handles. Probably the Mastodon one needs to be adjusted, but you can find me there if you have questions to ask. If you need to provide feedback, whatever, I'll try to reply. So let's start with cognitive load, and this is the Wikipedia definition. Cognitive load is meant to be the extra energy, the amount of effort that we need to put in place to understand something. And that applies perfectly to our code base. It might be because we are reading something that we wrote years ago where we were less expert. It might be because we are trying to review some code that somebody else is trying to push to our project. It might be because we got a bug report and we need to correlate the behavior that we get from the reality and what we understand from our code. And the less energy we spend, we are able to spend, the better, because it might be evening and we might be tired and we might have some urgency about that. So that's why it's so important. And sometimes this complexity is proportional. This extra energy is proportional to the complexity of our code. Think about cryptography. Think about ultra-optimized code that runs in embedded systems. But some other times, it's not. Take this example and take the same run through an obfuscator. This takes a lot more energy to understand that this function prints hello world. So this is to say that we need to put an effort, because that effort gets our reward in terms of speed of development and speed of understanding. So say that, a disclaimer, not everything is black and white. Of course, there might be exceptions to the suggestions that I'm going to say, and this talk is more or less a collection of scattered rules that I collected from sources that I trust. So, in case you don't like them, blame the sources and not me. In general, I think that the stuff that we write should take care of two sides. One is, of course, the implementation, and this implementation is pretty clear, I guess. This function is just doing the sum of two numbers. It's easy to understand. We can't argue with that. But what if we land on a code base that is doing something like this? And this takes more energy compared to a better version of it, where the function is named nicely, so we understand what it's doing. This is to say, and this is something that is going to be recurrent in this talk, that what matters is not only how we care about the implementation, but also how we care about the users of our packages, of our functions, of our objects. So let's start with the first item, which is line of sight. And this is something that I believe every good and idiomatic Go code base should try to foster. Basically, we have this leftmost indented line where all the happy path lives, and we have this indented one where we handle all the exceptions. And I expect every code base, which is well written where I land to respect this rule. And there are a few tips to do this. And I pressed the wrong. It wasn't me, sorry. So these are just tips to implement this. And let's see why it matters, how it will make our code base better. This was more or less a real example that I got from a real PR. And it was really hard to follow all the special cases. And so I tried to give feedback and try to hammer it with suggestions in order to leverage early returns and flipping errors, removing else's. When I see an